what do I even say? I mean, I go away for two of the Canucks games. I don't do a post-game show for three games, and I'm back here, and it's the exact same story as it was night one, except it's even worse, because it's now happened five times in a row. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here? What are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to sit here and watch this the entire year? Are we supposed to sit here and you know, get our hearts torn out night after night, every single game? That get that little bit of hope of maybe tonight will be different, maybe tonight will be different. At least it wasn't a multi-goal lead this time, but I guess it was two separate leads, so it's still kind of the same result. I mean, like, genuinely, what is the point? What are we doing? We have a team that has no will to win. They have a fantastic offensive performance night after night. Fantastic's maybe over pushing it, but I mean, they haven't not showed up offensively yet. But I mean, you're allowing four goals plus a game. You're just never going to win. Points great. Canucks effectively go 1-4 on their opening road trip. I guess that's better than 0-4-1. But not by much. I mean, they don't get the benefit of a win on the standings, right? Regulation wins are a tiebreaker. I mean, what is going on? It's a game that, and I mean, it was this game, it was the Columbus game, and it was basically just me sitting there while the Canucks had the lead and just knowing it wasn't going to last. I'm going to start taking out all of my money and putting it into sports gambling whenever the Canucks have a lead and betting against the Canucks, because I will be a millionaire at this point. I guess let's begin with a quick recap. I guess, sure. Let's run it back. Let's relive this beautiful game. Period one, Zuccarello scores, sloppy defending, just sloppy defending. Stillman drifting over to the wrong side, right? Two defenders in the exact same corner. Horvat's nowhere to be found, so there's Zuccarello all by himself in front. Tanner Pearson tries to get back, and it looks bad on Tanner Pearson because he's the one that sort of showed up and dove back to try to make the poke check. That's not his guy. His guy is the winger. Horvat's out of the picture. Both defensemen are in the corner. It's one of their jobs. It's Stillman's job or it's Horvat's job to pick up that third guy in the back door. Neither of them were there, so it's 1-0. Canucks answer. It's Bo Horvat. He's on a goal scoring streak. Excellent pass from Demko on the breakout. Tanner Pearson, with his only good play of the game, takes it wide on a little 2-on-2, slides a backhand feed to Horvat in the back door. Dumba sort of gets lost there. Really just a mistake on his part. And the Canucks are up 2-1. And then we have Nils Åman getting his first goal. Sick play by Dakota Joshua, by the way. Nice little move to get Åman a partial breakaway. Who just drives the net, basically tucks it in on the far side 2-1, and then Steele scores off of just a really dumb play, I think, by Kyle Burrows here. Kyle Burrows takes it across, or sort of gets, like, Horvat starts skating up the ice. He has an entire, just so much open space, plays it over to Burrows. That's fine. He wants to go get a change. And then Burrows wants to go get a change. Instead of maybe circling back, keeping possession, letting the team change, he just dumps it into the Wild zone and nobody chases. So the Wild come down the other way. Kaprizov just beats Kuzmenko out wide, feeds it in front. Shot goes off Quinn Hughes. It's tied at two, just like that. Right. And I mean, it's one that Demko probably should have had, you know, if it goes off Hughes, it's a bit tougher, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's 2-2. It's their first blown lead of the night. Second period, Joshua scores a nice goal. OEL gets stopped, sort of handcuffs Fleury up high. Rebound goes to Joshua. One stop, two stop, third shot sort of floats in. Great play by Dakota Joshua. He'll be in the lineup on Saturday night. And the third period, Minnesota finds a way to tie it. It's a really, really, really dumb tripping penalty from Tanner Pearson. Just sort of goes in low, puts the stick down, sort of can openers the guy on the wall with 13 minutes left. 13 minutes in. Yeah, 13 minutes left. That's right. His second penalty of the game. He now has 10 penalty minutes in five games. It's unacceptable. Tyler Myers has a stick broken on a shot block, gets Horvat's stick. I mean, at that point, you know, it's effectively a 5-on-3. Just go to the bench and get a new one, right? Like, you're useless out there. Now Horvat's useless out there because you have his stick. He doesn't have one. Might as well just have be an actual 5-on-3 for for 10 seconds because it's the short bench in the third period. So you can just skate over, grab a stick, maybe get back. But Zuccarello scores. Nice little tip play. It was the same play that Kaprizov had tried earlier, and it's 3-3. And then the Canucks have a chance to win it. They get a power play, kind of a bad call. Looked like a textbook board battle. Canucks really have a chance to like put the game away, right? Get their first win of the year. They don't convert. I mean, they get close. They get really close a couple of times. Fleury makes a couple of great saves. So it's a tie game after three. And then Minnesota has all the pressure. I mean, the Canucks barely touch the puck. I mean, they had one good chance in the offensive zone. Wild come back the other way. They have all the pressure. Tyler Myers takes a tripping penalty. I didn't love it. I thought it sort of the guy skated over his skate while he was trying to block a shot. Still kind of a trip. Either way, 4-on-3 ensuing while the delayed penalty is there and everyone's sort of standing still because they're all at the end of 2-minute shifts. They can't change. It's a long change in overtime. So if you have ongoing possession in the offensive zone, the opposing team just can't change. And they score. Kaprizov sort of banks it off Besser, just a mess behind the Canucks goal, in front of the Canucks goal behind Thatcher Demko. And it's 4-3. It's 4-3. So pluses, minuses, we're going to make this quick and then we're going to go to the people. And I don't have my comment machine open yet because I was so invested in this game for no reason, seemingly. But let's see if I can get that comment machine up and running while we go over the pluses and minuses, because folks, this won't take long because there's not a lot of pluses. There are a lot of minuses, though, I guess, which might be unfair because the Canucks were like, it was an even game the entire way, right? Like it was dead even the whole way. But that doesn't matter, right? The Canucks lost, and that's the thing that matters. The plus for this game, Bo Horvat continuing his scoring. That's a nice start to him for the season. And the fourth line was fantastic. Like the fourth line was genuinely fantastic. Dakota Joshua, Nils Åman, especially Lazar had a couple of really nice plays in there as well. The fourth line was absolutely phenomenal. But everything else was pretty bad, right? I mean, not converting on power plays. 0-for-2. Sure, it was only two chances, but we're at the point where the Canucks just are still basically a net negative on the power play for the season. Maybe a net even. I'm not keeping too well of track, but I know they've been scored on shorthanded. They took too many penalties, right? I mean, they took, what, 4 penalties this game? I guess there was 2 coincidentals. Yeah, but 4 once you've taken the Myers penalty at the end. So, too many penalties, 2 of them being on Tanner Pearson, right? It was a really good pass on Bo's goal, but you can't be taking, you know, a penalty a night, right? A penalty a night when you have a power play or a penalty kill that's clicking at, like, 60% means that you are at fault for basically a goal a night or a goal every other night. And in this case, take 2 penalties and you are responsible for a goal against. And that's that Zuccarello goal that ties it. Riley Stillman goes out hurt. Some people will be like, oh, good. Jack Rathbone gets to play. I mean, you still don't want your guy going out. I think Jack Rathbone was drawing in the home opener, regardless of whether Stillman got hurt or not. Maybe concussion protocol, it looked like. So we will see Jack Rathbone on Saturday. No doubt about that. I guess a minus is that we won't see Nils Höglander for a bit because of the way the fourth line was playing, unless they drop someone else. I don't know. Let's go to the people, though. Let's go to the people, I guess, because we can have a little nice little group therapy session. Actually, I do want to look analytically at the game, too. Let's pull up the old analytics. Expected goals, either team 50-50. Basically what this game was. Dead even, 3 expected for the Canucks, 3 expected for the Minnesota Wild. High danger chances, 16-12 in favor of Vancouver. Corsi was 60-56 in favor of Minnesota. Basically a dead even game the entire way across. As for Canucks on ice numbers, who had the bad goals for? Expected goals for? Tanner Pearson. By far the worst expected goals in this game, at a whopping 14.88 percent expected goals for, 0.2 goals for expected, negative 1.1 against. Riley Stillman right there at 15.83, Tyler Myers at 18%, Brock Besser at 19%, Kyle Burrows at 19%. So those 5 were all sub 20% expected goals while they were on the ice. Kyle Burrows, not great at 36%. And then the rest of the team, sort of average, right? Horvat, 46%. Lazar 48. We'll sort of skip the averages. The one name that jumps out top of your page is going to be Andre Kuzmenko. Andre Kuzmenko expected goals while he was on the ice, 89% in favor of the Vancouver Canucks, 1.78 to 0.21 against. Elias Pettersson at 77%, Luke Shen at 72%. So these are players who were genuinely great tonight, right? Even Dakota Joshua, you look at this fourth line, Dakota Joshua 58%, Nils Åman 71%, Curtis Lazar is lower at 48.7%, but I think he was out on kills a little bit, so that definitely hurts him. I was not looking at 5v5 only. 5v5 only does not help Tanner Pearson's case, though. So yeah, just a disaster. Let's go to you, the people. Let's make sure the comment machine is working. There we go. And I will pull up your comments. And we'll start all the way at the top. Nicholas Christensen, a serious question. Is Bruce still the coach at the home opener? Yeah, I think so. I said this on Canucks After Dark last night. The Vancouver Canucks were 7 games below 500 when they blew it up last year, when they fired everybody. Canucks are still, as of right now, 3 games below 500. But that 7 games below 500 was too much to overcome. It was just too much to overcome. You look at what that would mean to get rid of Boudreaux this early, right? You're waiting these 5 games over the last 57 games of last year, which, you know, 10% of the sample size. But again, I mean, maybe this team just needs something. Maybe that something is a trade instead. I don't know. Boudreaux is very easy to trade or to let go of, not under contract. But I mean, man, the reception at opening night on Saturday is going to be abysmal. Especially if they find a way to lose to Buffalo and go 0-6 to start the year. Because, I mean, do we think they're going to win? Do we think maybe it's a 50-50 at best, right? 50% chance that they are 6 losses in to start the season. Crowd's not going to be stoked on that one. That is for sure. But tickets might get cheap if you're interested in going to some games. Yeah. Not great. Lots of hate on JT Miller in here. Agam saying Miller's so bad, but don't worry, he's gonna get magically better in the next few years. Miller's down around because he didn't change. Otamendi looks like he was deliberately trying to turn the puck over in third. He did have a couple bad giveaways, for sure. Kai saying Miller, Besser, and Myers an interesting choice for 3-on-3. Yeah, they are so slow. We're talking about something that possession and speed matters a lot, right? I mean, you saw Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, how good they were in overtime, right? Quinn Hughes making space, Elias Pettersson finding a lot of room, a nice little steal in the offensive zone that almost results in a goal that would have entirely changed the spirits of this show. And then also, I'm back on the hating Pearson train again. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair place to be right now. He was the worst Vancouver Canuck tonight. And it's not that close, right? I mean, we saw Connor Garland get benched for a game, right? I don't think it would be that crazy to see Tanner Pearson get benched for a game. I mean, Hoglander can't be worse, right? Especially Hoglander's been fine analytically too, right? Like maybe no finish and his offense hasn't been fantastic, but I mean, Tanner Pearson has been an absolute black hole, analytically. And sure, he might find a way to put up 35 points again this year, but I mean, that's not good enough when, you know, it's costing the team games. Tales of Symphonia saying casual saying to trade Horvat. What has Miller done other than blind passes? Well, what are you going to get for JT Miller at this point? Right. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is owed $56 million, not starting this year, but starting next year, has a no move kicking in next year. Is a team really going to want to trade a bunch for JT Miller at this point? Probably not. I think you're getting more as a return for Bo Horvat. So I don't know. I can sort of see where they're coming from, although Horvat has been quite good the last few games, for sure. Quattro, I'm saying once the Wild tied it up, you can see the Canucks are playing not to lose. Absolutely. And I'm fine with that in the last minute, because surviving a minute usually works out and you get a point out of it. But, I mean, surviving the entirety of the last third period doesn't work very well, right? I mean, the Canucks had outshot 13-7 in the third period. Expected goals in the third period, 1.2 for Minnesota, 0.7 for the Canucks. Shot attempts 23-12 for Minnesota scoring chances 12-5. So the Wild came out in the third period. They're also a team that hadn't won a game yet this year. And they got it done. You know, they worked. And they said, we're not leaving it to chance. We're going to make sure we get to overtime. And they got it there. And they pulled it off. And now the Canucks are the only team in the NHL to have not won a game this year, which is just absolutely hilarious at this point. What else do we got? Chris saying Pedersen's the only top six forward who hasn't been terrible. I think Garland was decent tonight too. I mean, maybe not fantastic, but I thought he was fine. Analytically, he was pretty good at 5-on-5. But yeah, Pedersen's been the best. Pedersen is just trying to drag this team into a win. And he's not getting the support. I mean, he puts that one off the crossbar on the power play, and we can always say, you know, hey, if that goes in, but it didn't. And the Canucks need to find a way to score more than 3 goals if they're going to win this game. And I said it last night. I literally said word for word on Canucks After Dark last night. I said 3 goals is not going to win the game against Minnesota. It's just not. Minnesota has allowed 20 goals in 3 games, over averaging 6.666667 whatever goals per game against, and the Canucks go out there and score 3. They've allowed 7 goals. What, 7-7-6 Minnesota had allowed coming into this one? The Canucks score 3. It's unacceptable. And the Minnesota Wild did exactly what every other team has done so far against the Canucks, and that's just put up a bunch of goals and win the game. At least enough to win. Emmett saying, what injury did Stillman have? They were speculating protocol, John and John, based on the way he was talking to the trainer. But who knows? Looked like a sort of shoulder to the chin on a hit. Crispy Assassin says the team gets hemmed in their own zone so much they just try to forward for a top four D-man. There's no teams that have a surplus of top four D-men. They are the most in-demand positions in the NHL. And a winger's definitely not going to get it done. Really, the only person fetching you a top 4D at this point is a guy, maybe Garland, but probably not, because he's a winger. So it's probably Horvat. And Horvat's been one of your best players so far. What else do we got? Arjun saying every season's the same. Canucks play god-awful from October to December to make you think we're tanking. Do better in January, April to give us false hopes while also rising in the draft. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Canucks need to go on a run. Like, at this point, one game doesn't stem the bleeding. And I mean, sure, these last two are overtime losses, so they really don't count that much. All they do is reduce the number of games you have to win. And I mean, we're at the point where the Canucks need to win like 4 in a row here to get away from behind the 8 ball, because they have been playing catch up the entirety of the last couple of years, right? I mean, you remember the bubble year? They came off to a terrible start. And they were just out of it from the beginning. Last year, 8-15-2. I mean, how many times have we repeated those 3 numbers? You know, they played fantastic the rest of the year. It's just not enough, right? I mean, that one losing streak in like February or March or whatever it was killed them. But, you know, you have to give yourself enough wiggle room that you can afford, you know, a 5-game losing streak at some point in the season. You just don't want that 5-game losing streak to be right off the bat at the start of the season. All right. Angham saying, honestly, time to tank for Bedard. That's hilarious. You think the Canucks are winning the lottery? So they're just not going to. Master Joe is saying, where do you think, or where do you go from here? Do I think the Canucks still make the playoffs? We're getting to the point where unless they need to prove it to me, right? Like I'm done having any faith in this team, right? Not enough changed to make me believe that they are going to be able to overcome something like this, unless they show me otherwise. I would be, you know, I mean, let's think about it, right? The Canucks are going to need to win something like 5 in a row at some point in the season to make up for this 5 in a row and then play really good the rest of the season. Do we think it's not just as likely that they lose another 5 in a row at some point in the season? And then, you know, winning 5 in a row doesn't even matter, because now you got to win the budget. Like, they've put themselves in just such a god-awful position. I mean, the Athletic had them at 27% chance to make the playoffs at this point coming into this game, because the Canucks had to basically play at like a 6-15 clip the rest of the year to hit 97 points, which was the playoff bar last year, keep in mind. So if the Canucks want to hit 97 points, I mean, they have two right now. They have to get 95 points in the next 77 games. Do we think that this team, based on what we've seen, can do that? They've shown that they can score, right? They haven't been defensively dominated. They've had a lead in every single game. We're at the point where literally, if they just correct the whole throwing leads away thing, they're a fantastic hockey team, because if they hold every lead they get, they win every game. But they don't hold a single lead they get. They haven't. The Minnesota Wild have now led for, what, 3 minutes and 21 seconds this year? While the Canucks have led for like 150 minutes? It just doesn't matter, right? You got to finish. Zach and Eris says the fourth line was the best this game. Yeah, absolutely. What else do we got? Kai saying, also, please make a decision on Rathbone. He deserves at least a look from this point. Just keeping him sitting in the press box shouldn't be an option. I don't think it is anymore. Even without the Stillman injury, I think there was no way he's not getting in on Saturday. The Canucks defense has been atrocious. Maybe he's technically worse defensively. Does that matter at this point? Like the Canucks need some sort of change. And if Rathbone's the piece that maybe helps something click, they have to get him in at this point. Average Canadian saying, so much champagne, but without the sham. True. People talking about like Petey and Hughes being gone after their contracts are up. I mean, Petey's going to be an RFA, so he'd get traded if anything. Hughes is here for the next 5 years after this one. So there's a lot of time for things to change. Not that they will necessarily, but I would say that's, we're looking a little far ahead here. Based on a 5-game losing streak. BL Tube saying, Pearson, Jim loves trading you. Why play like this? Yeah, he's just a gimme for a trade at this point. I think that $3.25 million in cap space is more valuable to the Canucks at this point. And I think especially if you're just trading him for another winger, right? I mean, he got traded for, what, Chris Kunitz back in the day? Basically two players who are having no impact on their respective teams. Maybe it's just enough to shake things up, right? Maybe the Canucks go to a team that's also struggling, like a San Jose or something, but even though they're not trying to really compete, but they go to another team and say, you know, let's swap our wingers and see if that gives us both some life. All right, what else do we got here? Trying to pull everything up. Comments. Sorry, the thing crashed. All right, let's see. Got it back up here. Jaskarn says either they turn the season around after the home opener, or Rutherford makes a big move after that game. Rutherford keeps saying that he's going to be patient. I have zero belief in that at this point. Rutherford has never been a patient GM at all, so I don't see it. Sir Jay is saying, I sure hope Pearson gets scratched next. I think Hoglander should come in for Pearson at this point, unless they're trying to trade Pearson, which again wouldn't surprise me. I think he's a pretty easy person to pull out after that one. Symphonia is saying, Pearson scratch for our sanity, Miller scratch for a strong message. Yeah, I get it, but I don't think your team gets better having Miller in the lineup, or having like Pearson in the lineup over Miller, or Hoglander in the lineup over Miller. Sure, it sends a message, but we're at the point where we need wins more than we need messages. The 5 losses in a row should be enough of a message, in my opinion. If it's not, then, you know, they have a lot of problems. Bigash is saying, are they just going to keep scratching one player at a time until they find the culprit? I guess so. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? what else do we have? Peter saying, Parker, who's more lazy, Miller on defense or Polar Bear? Polar Bears can move, man. They're usually pretty lazy, though. Kai saying, at some point, the Canucks have to address the defense situation. Hughes is looking gassed in game 5, which is crazy to think about. I mean, yeah, he's playing 30 minutes a night. He's so good he can handle it, but it shouldn't be happening. Yeah, it really shouldn't be. The problem is that in a flat cap, I mean, there's no team willing to give up good defensemen at this point, right? Best you can do is maybe a Riley Stillman type of player, and that's not adding a lot of value to your team at this point. I genuinely think the only thing they can really do is something like a winger swap with another team. But do I really think that's going to make a difference? Probably not. So, I don't know. Sam saying it's one thing to let go of Bruce, but who exactly would we replace him with? I mean, we had this conversation all of last year or the early last year with Travis Green. We're like, oh, well, who are you going to replace him with? I mean, it worked out pretty well. I always think that this is, I mean, there's hundreds of good coaches out there, right? We just, the NHL likes to recycle the same 40 or so. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think getting rid of Boudreau is the best option. I just feel like we're at the point where something's got to change. And I think that is most likely going to be a trade of some sort. And just like a winger swap. Either that or the Canucks win the next game, win the game after that, and they're back on track. But that seems pretty unlikely at this point. All right. Sergei is saying just seeing Huge catching his breath at the end of the game pretty much sums it up. That's how I felt too. Actually, I want to see what does my heart rate say? Because I know it went up. I checked during overtime. Yeah, I hit a. Wow, yeah, there's a good. I probably can't show it very well. It'll be upside down, and it also just goes away. Oh, I hit my move goal. Let's go. But you can see two spikes. There's my workout spike, and then the end of the Canucks game spike at the end there. So I was stressed. I was tired, just hoping the Canucks would win, and they didn't. So, Sergey saying Barry Trotz a possible replacement. It would probably help the way the Canucks are playing, and because their problem is defense. Oh, but I don't want to watch a bunch of 2-1 hockey games. I really don't. We got to cut our losses at some point, right? Is this Canucks team winning more games under Barry Trotz? I don't know, right? I mean, they showed really well under Boudreau last year. But will they be a lot more boring under Barry Trotz? You're damn right they will be. And is that a sacrifice we're willing to make? I don't know. I don't like the idea. That scares me. Agam saying, I love Demko. He's led in some rough ones this season. Yeah, Demko hasn't bailed the Canucks out yet. I mean, if he had, the Canucks would have won a game. He had a couple of great saves tonight. But, you know, he probably should have had that that steal goal in the first. I mean, Demko's been, in my opinion, Demko's been remarkably average. He's let in a lot of probably goals that an average goalie would let in. I don't think he's been bad, even though his save percentage would suggest he has been. I think he has had a lot of high danger chances on him. Cause most of these goals are goals that you're like, yeah, those are going in. I don't care who's in net unless, you know, you're putting up a 930 normally. I think the defense is really hanging him out to dry a lot. Jeff saying Canucks look horrible right now, but will improve. I mean, they have to, there's nowhere else to go. But we'll likely miss the playoffs, the dread dead zone. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Meister saying Canucks are about to pull a St. Louis. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often, though. More often than not, teams that aren't in the playoffs just sort of stay out of the playoffs and don't get much done, unfortunately. Anything else here that I'm... Any other questions I'm interested in? Maestro says new management had the summer to fix the defense, chose not to. I think they genuinely tried. I just don't know what you can do, right? Defensemen are so expensive right now that they probably did a cost-benefit analysis and thought, you know what, maybe it's not worth making the move forward. Maybe they were wrong in that. But if they went out and got like a number three defenseman and it cost them, you know, and let's say they trade a first round pick or something, or, you know, a really good player, I bet there would have been a lot of backlash. But maybe it would have been the right move. You know, it's, we can't know at this point, but most teams, you have to pay a premium at this point with how tight the cap is. Teams know the Canucks had zero cap space coming into the season. So they're not going to do the Canucks any favors, right? Unparish saying, if this continues on for the next 2 to 3 weeks, Garland, Horvat, Pearson, or Hoglander has to go. Here's the thing. If this goes on for the next, let's say, 2 weeks, as you have suggested, that would take us to November 3rd. The Vancouver Canucks play 6 games before then. So if this continues on for another 6 games, the Canucks are, what, 0-8-3, 0-7-4. Maybe they win 2 of these games. You know, maybe they're 2-7-3. What's the point? Like, why bother making those moves at that point, right? You're not making the playoffs. You're 5 games under 500, not 3 games under 500. You also only have 71 games left in the season, to make up basically 15, 16, 17 games, over 500. You're really struggling at that point. But yeah, I'm sure they'll do something. Okay, let's see here. Zach's saying, convince me that Patterson won't leave us for a playoff contender. I mean, he can't, for one. He just can't until the end of this contract. Then he can demand a trade, I guess, and hold out. But I mean, he's an RFA. There's no point even talking about that until 2.5 years from now. Because I don't think they're losing every game for the next 2.5 years. I mean, if they are, you can come back and clip this and I'll eat my words. But I don't think they're losing every game for the next 2 years. Captain Goose saying Myers and OEL are awful defensemen. I thought Myers was fine tonight. He wasn't great, but I don't think he was, I guess he wasn't actually that good. I'm at 5-on-5. Tyler Myers was not good tonight, but I don't think he's the reason they lost. Right. I don't know though. I might just be trying to not be too angry, or frustrated, even though I am. But I think Myers has, you know, this game doesn't define who Tyler Myers is. I think he's been a genuinely fine defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks the last couple of years, especially last year. I thought he was decent near the end. I don't think a couple games should be, you know, especially coming back from injury, should be the, you know, we should be throwing him under the bus as if he's the real problem, when the problem is really a lack of depth and, just bad defense, especially on the forwards coming back in their own zone. Gus saying, by the way, good to be back to your stream. Thank you. I was gone for the 2 games in Philly and Washington. I was at both of them. I know I said I might stream, but I mean, after those 2 losses, with 2 blown leads, I mean, I figured, well, why don't I just go explore the city at this point? Much more fun, had a great time. And then I watched the Columbus game on the plane, which was really painful, especially because things just cut out on airplane Wi-Fi all the time. And watch them lose sucked. Okay, what else do we got? Depressed Canucks fan, apt name, saying, praying this team gets booed at the home opener. Maybe moves will happen then. I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if they got booed skating onto the ice, before opening puck drop. Like, I genuinely wouldn't. I mean, I would be if I was there. You got to send a message at some point. We are saying Pearson is probably better than Hoglander, TBH. Hog's not quite as responsible with the puck. If people complain about the penalties Pearson takes, I'm fairly certain Hoglander just takes just as many dumb ones. And Pearson's shown it this year that he's been taking the dumb penalties. 5 penalties in 5 games, right? That's just the numbers. You can also look analytically the last 2 games. Tanner Pearson has been the worst player at 5v5 on this team. So, you know, at some point, you gotta do something, and he has been a net negative in the lineup. Hoglander, and again, I go back to the analytics all the time, but you know, they're better at watching every little piece of every shift than we are. While we're focusing on hoping the team wins and all this stuff, meanwhile, I guess I am focusing pretty hard on Tanner Pearson. But I genuinely think that you know, Pearson's just been bad the last 2 games. What else do we have? Go Canucks Gus saying, what winger do you think a swap of William Pearson would bring? I don't even know. I haven't looked. I've been hoping that things would just turn around, which clearly was naive of me. But you know, if you can go to a team that is supposed to be good, but struggling, right? You know, maybe that's, I don't know. The Oilers have only played three games. LA's 3-3. You know, maybe they're a candidate, but I kind of doubt it. I think they're kind of okay with where they are. Maybe Washington, you know, they're 2-3. Maybe they're thinking of, you know, maybe a quick swap. They lost to the Sens tonight. So, you know, I don't know. Do they have any wingers that you could make a swap for? Like a, I don't know. Connor Sherry. He has 3 goals already this year, so probably not. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Agam saying Winless O John Pond should have retained him. Apparently, right? I mean this fourth line has been better than the Mott, Lamico, Highmore line. Genuinely. I had no problems with this fourth line at all. Taken saying, also it ain't Brutus's fault. And then he says, not the coaches, it's the players. Brutus is experimenting right now. I mean, at some point though, he's the one who, you know, his job is to make the players perform to their best of their ability, right? Yeah, it is the players. The players are giving up. But you know, the coach is kind of the guy who's in charge of the players, right? What else do we have here? Anything else I want to pull up? I think it's all sort of repeating things. So there's the civil war going on about Bruce Boudreau. And all the people are saying, oh, just get Bedard. I mean, they're not going to, you know, they just lose the lottery. Like we've said, how would I fix it? Asks Alter. I don't think there's anything that management can do here. Right? Like if I'm in the GM's shoes, I mean, yeah, maybe I try to do something to shake up the room. Right? Like that generally, that's the only thing I can think of is you try to just make a lateral move with another team that wants to make a lateral move. And hope that does something. But I mean, what are you going to go trade picks to try to make the team better? That's not a good thing, right? Especially when you're looking like those picks could be potentially pretty high this year. You know, you're kind of stuck in the bed that they've made. And that is a bed that has no cap space, and a bed that is paying a lot of money to some bad defensemen. And that's the life that we're living. Anything else that I want to take here? I don't think there's anything else I want to go over here. I think that's kind of everything. We're, you know, 40 minutes in here almost. Folks, hopefully Saturday goes better. I'll be doing this post game again Saturday. I probably won't be doing it on Tuesday because I will be at the game. I bought the tickets secondhand, so I'm not directly supporting them. And I will pre-drink my beers. I will not drink beers at the game, especially because they're like $22 now. So I'm not supporting them financially at all. You're welcome. And technically I've been supporting the other teams. I bought tickets in Philly and Washington. Those are secondhand as well. I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, you noticed I got a shirt with my new, I got a new logo. I don't know if you guys like it. It's kind of like a P and a P, but they're also hockey sticks. Got a shirt on it. There's a toque with it on it that I think is pretty nice. So if you want those, parkersbucks.ca, you can use the code BLOWNLEAD for 10% off. Thought that was pretty apt. There's a toque, there's a sweater, there's a hoodie. It's, yeah, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever. I'm just sad. Go be sad on your own. Enjoy the night. It's only 8:20. Did the Cardinals lose or the Cardinals win? NFL. Cardinals are winning. That sucks. That sucks for my Seahawks. So yeah, folks, go be sad. And I'll be sad as well. And I will see you guys on Saturday night. By the way, if you like the show, hit like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter, Parker's Pucks. You guys know the deal at this point. Maybe the Canucks will win a game at some point soon. Have a good night.